Happy Hump Day, Wednesday, November 18th. Here we go, the John DeBella Show Daily Podcast. We started it out with a little finger picking, thanks to Billy Joel's banjo. Turkey drop, it's coming up less than a week. More info on that. Packed in this podcast, musicians and Apple. Who was smart enough to invest? You'll find out. Speaking of musicians, Eddie and Wolfie Van Halen, of course. We heard some audio from them before featuring Eleanor Rigby in Song Stories today. Some dude from Jersey got coronavirus and decided to test the claims that you can't taste anything, so he assembled the grossest stuff possible for a taste test. We spoke to one of the property bros today. Jonathan Scott joined us. And here it all is. Enjoy the Daily Podcast.
Billy Joel's the entertainer. I can honestly say that I have been searching. I got to find Billy. I got to see if we can track him down because I've been searching to find out who plays banjo in that, right? And it's nowhere online, not on Wikipedia, not on Billy Joel's sites, anywhere at all. All right, right. There's no, see that damn button.
That button, man.
Right, you know.
It's cursed. Anyway, I'm here, I swear.
Anyway, I mean, I nowhere. I've never been able to find anywhere where it actually exists. Did you find that other song?
It's not there.
It's not there? Okay. All right. Because I wanted to play Traveling Prayer because yet another great banjo part in a Billy Joel song.
Oh, it is here. Hold on.
Mystery.
Oh,
mystery banjo.
I put a G there, like traveling.
Okay, good. All right. Now here.
Hold on. There you go.
Okay. Listen to this one.
Ooh, brushes.
Oh, yeah. This is a great song. As a matter of how good is it? Dolly Parton says this is as true the bluegrass as rock and roll gets.
Wow. I love the beginning of it.
Oh, yeah. The sound on this is terrific. And the story is great, too. It's as good as the entertainer story. All right, Bill. Start telling us all about it. Can you imagine what would be going on in Bill's head if he woke up now?
That'd be great. Any song that has a banjo and a fiddle or violin, I've said it before, gets the Steve Vassalotti seal of approval. I love stuff like this.
It's just a great... I love early Billy Joel. Early Billy Joel music is really spectacular. And his voice is so much better.
Right.
Right? Early on. But yeah. Billy Joel, Traveling Pair.
Now, nobody tell Bill that we played this.
Yeah, don't tell Bill. Don't
and
tell
if
Bill
you all. Do, tell him he performed that live on MMR in 1971.
Okay.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Who the hell do you think you are?
I'm an idiot.
Has everyone gone nuts?
Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9 MGK.
Tuesday for the turkey drop looks terrific. Cool. Looks like temperatures are going to be in the 50s, so that'll be good. Hey, look, with everything that's going on with the virus and the city and stuff like that, I know a lot of you really would rather not have to show up to drop off a turkey or some cash. You know what? You could do that by just going to WMGK.com. Come on, right now. You've probably got $10 you could spare. If you could spare 20, it would be even better, right? This way, someone can get a meal, some family can get a meal, and you can get that great feeling of knowing you helped somebody out. Now, if you want, you could stop by one of our locations. We're going to be at Acme locations throughout the Delaware Valley, in Havertown on Westchester Pike, and Red Lion Road in the Northeast, Flower Town and Bethlehem Pike, Audubon, New Jersey, and the Black Horse Pike. And in those cases, all you got to do is drive up. I would suggest, especially if you can pop the trunk on your car, put it in the trunk of your car, tell the person in the trunk, right? You don't even have to get out of the car. A masked person will come up and take it out, close your trunk. Or if you have to hand it through the window, whatever it might be, all right? You don't even have to get out of your car. This is going to be a big year for a city team, Philadelphia. They're going to need a lot. Because as I've been telling you, it's not just the working poor, which is who we're normally doing this for. It's so many pandemic, unemployed people that are going to need a meal this year. So what can you do? You could just make a secure online donation at WMGK.com or show up at any one of our locations. Of course, we will be performing live or broadcasting live.
It's a performance.
I'll be juggling turkeys.
That's it. All right.
That's all I do.
From 6 to 9 a.m. on Tuesday in front of the Kimmel Center. So if you can, join us there. Again, you could just pull up, give us a wave. Someone will take the turkey for you and move on.
Drive by,
your
just
way.
Toss it out the window.
That's it.
At
they're
30
frozen.
Miles an hour.
What the hell? That'll
Remember?
That'll make it more tender.
Do you remember last year? I guess at the end of the show, I was trying to help somebody put the turkey in the truck, and I started swinging the turkey around like Pete Townsend when he with the guitar, and the turkey, the little bag holding the turkey ripped. The turkey went sliding across Broad Street.
Frogger.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to keep Steve from doing that.
The John DiBella Podcast.
I'm a man who likes to talk and sing with children.
102.9 MGK.
Billy Squire, Lonely as the Night. I know we've mentioned this on the phone, on the air before, but in case you missed it, a lot of people always asking, gee, whatever happened to Billy Squire?
He did that Christmas video.
Right? No, what he did was he took a whole bunch of money that he made and he invested in this new company back in the day called Apple.
Oh.
And, yeah, and he hasn't had to do a damn thing since. Right, there are a couple of music. I think it was like Kenny G also,
that
was a big investor in Apple.
Seriously?
Yeah, and right, yeah. Unfortunately, Kenny G kept making music
with Kanye. worse for you.
With anybody. Well, he did that Rose thing for. Was that what you're talking about? The Valentine's thing he did. Oh yeah, Kanye did this thing with Kenny G, where he filled a room. There were roses all over the floor. And Kenny G playing his alto clarinet in the middle of the room.
That was right after they collabed for his album.
Right. Yeah. Oh, okay. Is that what it was?
Was that for Kim Kardashian to return home to?
Right. Right. Yeah.
Rose petals and Kenny G playing live in her bedroom.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. There's a reason
he stayed to watch too. Sick guy.
Booyakasha! The John DiBella Podcast.
Yeah.
102.9.
Say that again.
102.9.
Yeah.
MGK.
Would you want to see Van Halen without Eddie Van Halen if the rest of the band went out on the road?
Not really.
All right. Because the story came out. Wolfgang told a story a couple of days ago about Eddie was trying to do a kitchen sink tour with everybody who had ever been in the band, right? Or basically the three singers and Michael Anthony.
Okay.
Right? That they would all go out on tour and do this whole tour together.
Sure.
All right? You know, but the combination of his cancer and then the motorcycle accident they had, it just never came together. Thing never came together at all. But Wolfie on his own, Wolfie put out his first single yesterday called Distance, and there's a video for it. And in the video, there is a Eddie telling a young Wolfgang he loves him and about building a studio. I've got the audio. You have to hear that. This is like really a great loving father thing. So this is just the two of them talking.
I love you, Daddy.
I love you.
Meet me up in the room.
We gotta clean up above the garage and build a little studio for you and me.
Yeah.
Or for you. Bye bye.
I'm just so happy to have you as my son, man. So proud of you. I love you so much. Call me if you get a chance. Just want to hear your voice. Okay? I love you.
That's Dad on the Road, the second part of it.
Dang it, John.
Yeah, I know.
Tugging on the heartstrings this early.
Hey, you know what? It's that time of the year. I'd rather do that than do it with a Mariah Carey song.
How dare you?
Speaking of the Mariah Carey song, we do have the Metallica version.
The John DiBella Podcast. John DiBella. You know the bands. You know the songs. This is the history behind them. Classic Rock 102.9 MGK presents Song Stories.
Song Stories being brought to us by Matt Blatt Auto. Get out of your trade today, even if you owe more than it's worth. Go to MattBlattAuto.com. Paul McCartney, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but Yellow Submarine... I'm sorry. Eleanor Rigby was the B-side to Yellow Submarine. That was the A-side at that time when the Beatles put that out. But the idea for it about the lonely woman, you know, Eleanor Rigby herself, it seems that Paul had a thing for spinsters.
There was this old lady, I think in Gambia Terrace, where John and Stu had a flat. I always used to feel very sorry for old spinster ladies sort of living on their own, and something made me want to kind of help them, I don't know. So she, in my mind, was always the kind of prototype for Eleanor Rigby. Of course, it developed in the writing. I mean, immediately she became someone who cleans up in a church, which is just fiction, all of that. But the prototype were some of these lonely people I used to see when I was a kid.
The John DiBella Podcast. Wow. Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
At 8:10 this morning, Jonathan Scott, one of the Property Brothers. Do you know which one that is, Cindy?
Jonathan, the construction property brother.
There you go.
I'm obsessed with those guys.
That was a swoon.
One of the reasons why I said yes to this guest was, you know, radio can have eye candy every once in a while.
Sure.
And I figure that the women in our audience would love to hear us talk to Jonathan Scott. I think he's a really cool guy, to tell you the truth. His Zoe Deschanel is his girlfriend.
Yes. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Right. So,
a little Hollywood.
Yeah, well,
for a construction guy.
He stepped up, huh? All right. Anyway, he'll be joining us at 8:10 this morning. But there's something, you know, with all of everything that's going on with coronavirus, especially here in town right now, one of the things that you've heard about it is that you lose all a sense of taste and smell.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy decided to eat all these gross foods and food combinations because he can't taste them. And he put a video up. Here's some of the audio from it.
Tropicana with my toothpaste. Ooh. The onion from 2 days ago. Ooh. Balsamic vinegar. A little apple cider vinegar. For real, nothing. Nice lemon. Wasabi Oreo is up next. Let's see what happens. Cheers. I can definitely feel that in the sinuses. Still no flavor in the mouth, though. Wild caught Norwegian sardines. Nothing. Anchovies with capers. Last but not least, clove of garlic. Nothing.
Wow.
There's got to be a great way to lose weight. You might die, but there's got to be a great way to lose weight.
The John DiBella Podcast.
Sounds good.
Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
Let's hear it for George.
Really?
What's wild? We missed those two being...
We
thought one of those two was already exposed, and it wasn't until he picked the second one when I went, oh my God, this hasn't been shown at all. Yeah. What luck. That is fantastic. Our congratulations to George. He is off to Universal Orlando Resort. Got another trip tomorrow, 7:30 tomorrow morning. It starts up once again. And as we said, Jonathan Scott from HGTV's Property Brothers, that's bearded guy in flannel, not suited guy in real estate.
All right. I'm not sure who is which anyway.
Oh, no. Well, see, your wife is a real estate agent, so HGTV isn't on 24 hours a day.
Right. My wife's a housewife. She's got Orange County.
That's it.
New York and New Jersey. Right.
Same tax bracket, too.
Exactly. That's what we are.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're
in radio.
Although they do have a tendency of, like, finding these houses and, like, you see this house, it's got 5 bedrooms, you know, and, you know, and a giant backyard and 2-car garage, and it's $138,000.
Yeah, right. In Tennessee.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. But Cindy says, you know what I was thinking about it, Cindy?
Yeah.
You're seeing that you like Jonathan that much.
Oh, yes.
Right. That if he had come over to your house and the next day I asked, you know, what were you doing? Your answer would probably be,
yeah, there's been some banging. Where'd that come from?
Your mouth.
I think, yeah, it came from you. It was like 3 weeks ago.
Is it still there?
Yeah, there's been some banging.
Poor Randy.
You know, I have some work that needs getting done.
All right.
Oh.
Yeah, there's been some banging.
You know him from HGTV, but that's not all he does. At least that's what we're finding out. He's Jonathan Scott. He's one of the Property Brothers, and he's joining us now because he's got a new film that's coming to PBS's Independent Lens. Hiya, Jonathan. How you doing?
I am well. Good morning. Thanks for talking to me.
All right. We got to get some HGTV stuff out of the way first. So you are the flannel shirt guy, not the suit guy.
That is correct. And we are not a CG technology. There are actually two of us.
And didn't you and your brother grow up on some sort of farm out in the woods somewhere? How did you guys get into this, and how did you end up with this incredibly successful TV series?
Yeah, we grew up on a ranch just outside of Vancouver, Canada, and it was a horse ranch. And so, you know, we were always kind of handy growing up. You know, we would build the barns and the fences, and we built the home with Dad when we were 14. And that kind of segued when we were coming out of high school. We didn't want to be struggling artists because, you know, I'm also a magician, and Drew wanted to be an actor. And let's fund our own creative endeavors with real estate. And so we read every book we possibly could.
Wow.
And we managed to buy our very first house at 18 years old for only $250 out of pocket. And so we took over his mortgage and fixed it up, and a year later sold it for a 50 grand profit. And that's when we thought, wow, there might be a business here. And so eventually I went to school for construction design, and Drew, we licensed as a realtor, and the rest, you know, is history.
It is amazing. The only thing that's more amazing than that is how you find houses at the prices you find them at. When are you going to come to, like, you know, come east where houses really cost money?
Hey, it depends on where you are, because, you know, when we film in some cities like, you know, Los Angeles or Toronto or, you know, Vancouver, even when we were in New York, the prices are huge, are really, really high. But then when we film in places like, you know, Nashville or some of the outlying areas, Atlanta, the houses were a lot less expensive. So it just depends on where you are. The prices are all over.
Lucky for you, I have a Philadelphia radio market that I'm speaking with, and I have some downstairs work that needs to be done in my house. So if you would like to swing on by Philadelphia.
Well, the thing is, I got your email, but I'm not exactly sure what a 50 Shades room is.
There's already a house in Plymouth Meeting that has an entire basement full of 50 Shades stuff, so we don't need it at my house.
Now, you've got a film coming up on PBS's Independent Lens, Jonathan Scott's Power Trip, and this is all about solar heating, solar power, and what's going on behind the scenes with it. This seems to me like an extension of Who Killed the Electric Car, except now you're dealing with an even bigger situation.
I mean, I kind of fell into this. I was putting solar on my home in Vegas, and I thought it was good for the environment, but I didn't know much more about it than that. And I was met with so many complications, so many strange rules from the utility that would limit how much solar I could put in. And then eventually, once I did get the system up and running, all of a sudden net metering was killed in Nevada, which put all the solar companies out of business. I really started digging in, and I discovered that it was worse even in other states, Arizona, Florida, all over the country. It varies. And there's this secret war that's being waged against renewable energy by the fossil fuel utilities. And it's really the end consumer who suffers, particularly in low-income communities. And so that really set me on this 3-year journey to cross the country, talk to people from all over, and find out what's going on. And I'm telling you, when you watch it, your head will spin with some of the corruption and some of the shady stuff. It's like right out of the tobacco playbook with some of these misinformation campaigns.
Do you think that this will turn around at some time in the future, or will it just be the people complaining enough and getting on their legislators' backs to, like, hey, stop this crap?
No, we're right at that tipping point already. So coal power was the dirtiest power to produce. And in just the last 2 years, there were 20 coal power plants still slated to be opened in the U.S. And in the last 2 years, all of those projects have now been abandoned or closed down because it's not worth it. But I think what's happening is you now all of a sudden have all of these utilities who are saying, okay, well, solar and wind is good for business. They're putting it into their mix, their energy mix. But the thing is, they now want to control it, so they don't want you to have rooftop solar.
Uh-huh.
So that's where the real battle comes forward. And the job creation is in rooftop solar. That's where the majority of those new jobs are being created. So it's trying to find that balance where we're doing something that's good for the environment, but we're also doing something that's good for people.
Now, I have a personal question, actually two personal questions. All right. First off, did you really turn down The Bachelor 3 times?
Yes, I did.
God bless you for that.
Bachelor and twice for the U.S. one.
God bless you for that. And this is the most highly personal question I could ask you. Is looking into Zooey Deschanel's eyes, are they as blue as they appear to be on TV?
I thought you were going to ask if the plaid shirts match the underwear, but this is a much easier one. Yes, I am very aware that I'm dating up Joey is just the most incredible human, and staring into those eyes is pretty mesmerizing. So, yes, I am dating up.
All right. Have you ever spoken to her about the Kinks? I'm talking about the band.
Oh, it's like this. Yeah, I was going to say for a second, wait, what are we talking about? Yes, I have.
Okay, because I know she's a huge Kinks fan. So anytime she wants to call in here and talk about the Kinks, we'll gladly talk to her about it. Jonathan Scott, his new film for PBS's Independent Lens is called Power Trip. Jonathan, good luck with this and all of your projects. Really, my wife and I are big fans of the work you guys do, although she has a thing for that Holmes guy. All right, but thank you for taking the time, and thanks for being with us today.
Anytime. Thank you.
The John DiBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.